The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by family-owned Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Bill Curry Ford is giving an extra $1,000 off any vehicle purchase. That's storm savings. They have cars that are safe, undamaged, and ready for you to drive. And a portion of all sales now are being donated to the Red Cross, BillCurryFord.com. And remember, Florida's elite restoration. They are ready for you 24/7. If you have a disaster at your property, flood damage, total destruction, whatever is going on, you realize you have roof damage. Mold is a killer. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you call. And if you end up using their services, you'll get $500 back. Maybe that's money for your deductible or just cash back. Florida's EliteRestoration.com.
I think Bucky Irvin gets 100 yards in this game. I think he gets 100 on the turf. I think he's a turf runner, and I think you're going to see it.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. If you have not listened to our previous podcast this week, it's there for you at JoeBucksFan.com or Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, other platforms. Dial it up. The Sage was in good feisty form after Big Bucks win. And of course, feel free to leave a review anywhere. We'll see it. We'll read it. Sage loves that kind of stuff. Of course, our podcast today is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Tampa's first family of Ford is Bill Curry Ford. And you can go to their website right now, BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Just announced from Ford IRA, customers who have experienced a verified total loss or damage to their vehicle from Hurricane Helene are eligible for disaster relief employee pricing. Essentially, if you've been destroyed by this hurricane as it relates to your vehicle, Bill Curry Ford is the place to go, BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount, and that's on top of everything else. And of course, you've got an amazing service department, pickup and delivery service available. If you can't get to Bill Curry Ford, they'll come and pick you up so you can shop and take you back home. Even if you don't buy anything, they won't make you live there, Ira, if you don't buy a vehicle. They just want to do what they can. BillCurryFord.com. And if you haven't been affected by the storm, still a great time to buy a vehicle. Check out their transparent pricing, new, used, BillCurryFord.com. Our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. But as we've been throwing out on social media and on our website, and I know I've referred people, you referred somebody who interestingly kind of called you to say, hey, Ira, is your endorsement legit of Florida's Elite Restoration, or is this something you're just paid to do? And you said, hey, Josh and his people, I've broken bread with these people. These are great people. 5-star reviews across Google. Check them out. Florida's Elite Restoration. And they service the greater Tampa Bay area and beyond. They're going to the hard hit storm areas. If you got roof damage, flooding, call them 24/7. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Do you believe somebody actually called you, Ira, to see if your endorsement was legit?
Well, I mean, I understand it because they were asking for a close friend that lost everything in the storm. And, you know, Steve, it's a legitimate question. You know, a lot of people do endorsements and they don't really know the product. And she just wanted to see whether it was just a totally economic decision that we're talking these people up. And Lee, what I said was, and I was telling the truth, because Lee, you know, some of the same people I'm referring to, we know people that have used Florida Elite Restoration and can't say enough about them. So, yeah. You know, it's not just the fact that, and you know, we're very blessed to have them as sponsors, but we really do believe in the product and the people behind it, Lee. And it's nice to be able to say that and give them a full-throated endorsement.
Sage, I was actually upset when you told me that because I know that you are a man of high integrity. And what a question. What a question that is. That's like you pimping a bagel that you didn't like. You would never do such a thing.
By the way, full disclosure to our thousands of listeners on Guam, Costa Rica, all points in between. Lee took another guitar lesson today, learned a couple of new chords, and I got my sights set on Eddie Van Halen sometime maybe in 2026. I might be able I might be able to do that eruption song, and you better be there when I try it.
You can do it on an acoustic guitar. That's number one.
I'll bump up to a Stratocaster, Lee. I'll bump up.
Maybe this will give you some encouragement, Ira. I heard Sammy Hagar say this, and he was referencing how influential Eddie Van Halen is. He said, now you have 8-year-old girls playing Eruption.
Hey, Steve, at one point when the instructor was working with me on a couple of chords, you know, with 3 different fingers on the left hand, got to be in 3 different frets and this and that, and I go, I'm having trouble because I got stubby fingers. I got stubby fingers. And you know what he said? He said, you do have stubby fingers. But you'll limber them up over time. You'll get calluses. That's the right way to get calluses, gentlemen. And you'll be fine. So I'm going to stick with this, Steve. Next time you throw me a birthday party, I'm going to perform up on a stage up there.
All right, Sage, look.
Byron, take the advice of none other than Ted Nugent. Practice till your fingers bleed.
You know, say what you want about Ted Nugent, Lee. He's a nut in some ways.
Yeah, he is.
But he's a Chuck Berry fanatic, and for that, I'll always have respect for him.
Oh, he loves Chuck Berry and loves Bo Diddley. Those are like his 2 heroes.
All right, Sage. Hey, we got a game Thursday night, Buccaneers, Atlanta. We're still living the dream from this past weekend's blowout of the Eagles. And, of course, you know, I've been listening to a lot of the national media. It's sort of been framed as, well, the Eagles lost, and the Eagles are falling apart, and the Eagles, you know, that's the slant on it. And a very
predictable. It's so
very predictable. Yeah,
it is predictable. Now, there have been some giving the Bucks their due. Very interesting segment by Logan Ryan on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He basically explained how Todd Bowles has systematically laid the blueprint for the rest of the league, and it's been going on for a while, of how to beat Jalen Hurts. Ryan said when he joined the San Francisco last year, they were the only team that was kind of not following the blueprint, doing it a different way. And he said he got there the week after they played the Eagles, and they were laughing, just joking around about how they got Philly mastered, and these guys, you know, Hurts is too easy to play against. Anyway, without getting into all the X's and O's, basically Ryan explained that Bowles exposed him years ago, and it's caught up to him across the league. How about that?
Wow. Lee, you would think Hurts and the coaching staff would make some adjustments. Lee, it's on tape what Bowles is doing. And by the way, talking about what Bowles is doing, I got a couple of stats I'd like to lay on you two gentlemen. And like Lee often says, he don't want to hear about yards. Lee wants to hear about points. And Lee's right. They're 11th in scoring offense. Lee, they're 9th in scoring defense. They played most of the year without 3 critical defensive players. I mean, you know, I told you, Lee, I said sooner or later, Bowles is going to get that sack total back up. You know, it was 2 through 3 weeks. That's unacceptable. And he did his magic, and Lee, all of a sudden, that first win against Washington takes on another layer of meaning in terms of being impressive, because, Lee, the Commanders haven't lost since week one.
Yeah, Gerald McCoy was saying that on FS1. He goes, that win looks a whole lot better now, and you know what? I don't think you're nuts in saying that Washington might just be the favorite to win that division. I mean, Philly's plummeting. Dallas stinks. Giants, they stink. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I will just say this. And I wrote this a couple days ago on JoeBucksFan.com. The way they beat the Eagles, and now they're really getting into the teeth of the schedule, the next 6 weeks very well could determine the outcome of this season. Very easily. It's that tough of a schedule. However, number one, with the exception of the Ravens, that schedule doesn't look as tough anymore. I'm not saying it's easy, but the Chiefs are vulnerable. 49ers are vulnerable because of all their injuries. They don't look so insurmountable now. Number two, as the Bucs are going to go into that teeth of the schedule, they're getting healthier on defense. If the stars are aligned, this could be pretty impressive what happens in the next 6 weeks.
No question about that. And Steve, I was thinking about this 3-1 start, the September start, September surprise, in a sense. Given the injuries, and I predicted, and didn't want to be right, but I predicted that they were going to get more than their share of injuries just, you know, from over a 5-year span. It all balances out. Steve, 3-1, now considering the Commanders are not on an easy mark, and we know about Detroit, especially at home. And Steve, say what you want about the Eagles and how ragged they were and how lousy their tackling was. They were coming off an emotional win. They had a little bit of momentum on their side, and they were manhandled.
Ira, you're just mad that you picked the Eagles. Come on.
But Steve, that 3-1 start, considering everything, that's impressive.
Let me chop it up here a little bit. A couple things. I'm feeling feisty tonight, Ira. First, this 3-1, I'm not going to let you get away with calling that a surprise. It may be a surprise the way it's evolved, but 3-1, I mean, before the season, we would have said, well, they'll probably be 2-1. And then they got the Eagles, pivotal game, but they've owned the Eagles, so I can't call it a surprise.
I understand your point, Steve.
Part two of that, you guys can figure out how you want to respond. Part two, I'll say to Lee, okay, the next 6 games, obviously tough stretch of the schedule, but if the Bucs go 2-4 and they win 2 of those games in the division and lose the others, they're sitting great, frankly, at 5-5 with a laugher of a schedule to close out.
And I can't call that great.
Well, they're right. Sitting. No, they'd be. They'd be sitting.
Maybe, but I can't call that great.
They'd be sitting in good position to close out, 5-2 against a weaker schedule.
They could, but I'm also thinking home field advantage as well. So you got to get up there 11-12.
Sure.
Get some home field advantage. If the Bucks go 2-4 the next 6 games, I don't think they're getting any kind of home field advantage outside of a division. Outside of if they win the division. That'd be the only way. They all have one home game, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't think they will, but I'm saying even if they do and they're competitive, I think they're really set up well to win 5 out of the last 7 for sure.
I know the latter part of the schedule is easier. I know that. So,
Steve, you made a good point the other day, the post-game podcast. You know, they go to Atlanta Thursday, and I think the Falcons, Lee, are a tiny favorite, maybe 1.5, something like that. Lee, if the Bucs win this game, they'd be 4-0 in the conference. I mean, that sets them up pretty well, too, and it would be a division win. I think they'd be sitting pretty if they win this game, Lee.
That certainly helps, no doubt about it. I just think the Bucks are on the cusp of, I don't want to say something special, but something very good. They're on the cusp. They got the chance. I'm not that scared of Atlanta. I'm not scared now that the Saints have been exposed, but they've been brought down to earth. They're mortal. So I'm not losing sleep. Those are 2 tough games, but I'm not losing sleep. I like how everything is seemingly falling into place.
Steve, speaking of the Chiefs, and you know that I know them well, a couple of things, and nobody wants to hear these things. Mahomes looks fairly pedestrian. I'm sorry. He does. And he wasn't great last year either until the postseason. And number two, this is not a stretch. I think you look at the Chiefs and you say they're a defensive team right now. They're a defensive team. They went on defense, just like they did when they played the Chargers. They gave up 10 points in the first quarter, Lee, and 0 points the rest of the way. So, Lee, you're right. And now their best wide receiver is going to be out. Rasheed Rice, it looks like a bad knee injury. I don't think there's any way he's coming back for the Bucs game. So that leaves Travis Kelce. All right, go cover this guy. He's a tough cover without question. Steve, a couple other points about the Bucs so far. They're +2 in turnover ratio. Now, why? They're not getting that many takeaways. But, Steve, once again, just like last year, and this is why Bowles is walking around with his chest puffed out about number 6. Steve, as pedestrian as Mayfield was against Denver, when you look at his numbers over 4 games, Steve, he's playing lights out. And, again, the touchdown to interception ratio is outstanding once again. Even with the Denver game, I expect him to go in Atlanta and play well, Steve.
The production's been there, and he's on pace for a significantly better year than he had last year. He looks super comfortable, and I'm glad that he got over some of the, I'm just going to call it fear, or playing like he was a little bit scared from the relentless pass rush of the last couple of weeks. And they came out with a plan, to throw the ball quickly and sort of carve up Eagles, as Lee's written many times, they're really not throwing deep. They're not taking those shots. And right. It's worked out well for him multiple times here. But, yeah, he's playing extremely well, extremely confident, smart, and he's completing by far the highest completion percentage. He's up at about 70%.
That's incredible. Lee, I got a trivia question for you. You might get this one, Lee. All right, Lee, I don't want you to think about it. I want you to give me a quick answer. Uh-huh. How many touchdown passes have the Bucs allowed through 4 games? Quick.
None.
One.
Okay.
One.
Are you mourning the ex-Chiefs defensive tackle that passed away today?
Wait a minute. I'm not sure I know about this, Lee. Former Chiefs defensive tackle. All right, give me a name.
You know what I'm talking about? You watched Good Times, right?
Yeah, I watch Good Times a little bit.
Okay,
yeah.
JJ's dad.
JJ's dad. Well, you got to give me a name, Lee. You got to give me a name.
John Amos. Come on now.
John Amos passed away?
Yep.
What was he, 95?
Defensive tackle. 84.
You know what? He also played the sportscaster on the Mary Tyler Moore show. The weatherman or the sports guy? I can't remember. Steve, at that point, you better take over.
All right. So, Sage, look, as far as the Bucks go specifically, Mike Evans appeared on the injury report this week with a calf injury. In addition to the banged up knee that he's had, that, you know, he's had on the officially for a couple of weeks. But the calf stands out to me, Ira. I got to say this. I didn't bring it up on the last podcast because, you know, it's kind of unfair to put it out there when it's immediately after a game. But Evans was walking extremely slowly, extremely gingerly as he left the locker room. And I was there real late. And, you know, I thought, man, something's wrong with him unless he's got like a horrible rash or something this just isn't right. And another reporter saw it with me and we talked about it. And sure enough, there appears the calf injury. And, you know, the Bucks, Jason Light was on Buccaneers Radio Network a couple of weeks ago when he was asked about Kancey, and his reaction was, hey, you know, you got to be extra careful with these calves. A lot of teams are rushing guys back or their guys are returning from a calf and re-injuring it. And the conversation was about Kancey, but it got me thinking about Evans. Now, of course, Evans wants to play at all costs. And what do you think about that?
I think you're onto something, because when Lee and I were standing outside of the Buck locker room and they were coming off the field, I happened to see Evans. I thought he was grimacing a little, Stevie. He was walking gingerly, and that was right after the game. And you saw him, you know, 35 minutes after the game. It's concerning. I'm not worried about the knee. I'm worried about the calf on a short week. Lee, I think it's a legitimate concern how effective he's going to be in Atlanta.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a comment on Joe Bucks Fan. He wrote that Mike Evans does not look the same. Like, he lost his burst. Well, if you got a bum leg, you're going to lose some burst.
I would handle him with a lot of caution, Steve, Thursday night. Maybe it's a time for Jalen McMillan or Sterling Shepard. Steve, I've had calf injuries. I don't know if you guys have had it. And it's not a trifle matter, calf injuries. They're not. Look at Kancey. He's had it twice. I'm going to be a little careful with Mike Evans if I'm the Bucks Thursday night.
Well, just to update the injury report, Sage, Jalen McMillan, who did not play with a hamstring injury last Sunday, he did not practice. So I have to assume that, yeah, that he's not going to play. Trey Palmer's concussion. They elevated formally Shepard officially from the practice squad. So now he's on the 53-man roster. So they're really kind of down to three receivers plus Cameron Johnson, who may or may not be able to actually catch the ball. So I don't know. I think obviously Evans wants to play. The streak's important to him. The team's important to him. He may be healthy enough to play. Maybe if he's healthy enough to run around, at least maybe they use him as a decoy. Obviously, he's a very valuable decoy if he can't do a ton more than that.
Speaking of Cameron Johnson, the Philly fans are just unloading on Gardner Johnson and Darius Slay, killing them both. And the one about the reason why they're killing Slay, well, there's a couple reasons. One, he went on Micah Parsons' podcast. That's a no-no. You don't deal with the Cowboys. You don't buddy up to a Cowboy if you're an Eagle. You don't do that. That's boo-boo number one. Boo-boo number two, I guess Slay was mocking Gardner Johnson for, you know, shooting his mouth off saying belt to ass time, and then Mike Evans immediately takes him to school. So they're pissed off at Gardner Johnson for shooting off his mouth, and they're pissed off at Slay for doing this.
Oh, man. You know, Lee, knowing Philly fans the way I do, I thought you were going to tell me they got on Gardner for plunging himself into an ice bat.
Well, that's part of it. They say if you're going to shoot off your mouth, you better be able to finish the game. I tend to agree with that. But with Slay, he did a Vernon Hargraves on the Cameron Johnson drop. You know, Johnson was wide open. Guess who was supposed to guard him? It was Slay. And what did Slay do? He did that Vernon Hargraves umpire safe. And Philly fans, that just really drove them nuts. Like, what are you celebrating for? You should have been burned.
Hey, Steve, I was thinking of you the other night because you said, well, maybe I'll talk to Devin White after the game. You know, there won't be a lot of people around him. And
he didn't make it there.
Steve, this is one of the most bizarre stories. I mean, what is he, 26? Healthy? Lee's healthy. He's not hurt.
Is it as bizarre as you comparing your calf injury to Mike Evans?
Hey, it happened in a sporting occasion. For a guy that's supposed to be entering his prime, that has a history of production in this league when it counts, this is a very bizarre story, Lee, and you're right. If he's out of this league in 3 or 4 years, this story is going to come out. And
he might be out of the league in 3 months, Ira.
Oh, man. I mean, I told you last year that this guy's a problem in the locker room. He's a problem. And he's done nothing to correct it.
You know, Albert Breer back, except in August, the Eagles are stopping him. In August.
Damn. Steve, I got good news for Baker Mayfield and your boy Schooley. Steve, your boy Schooley needs to hear this. Last in the league in sacks. 4 sacks. Your Atlanta Falcons, Steve. Last in the league.
Let me, before we get to the game, Sage, let me throw a couple things past you. Jason Light retweeted something from The Athletic earlier this week. They had maybe four of their reporters, their bigger name NFL people, do a survey of 40 NFL executives, front office types, that kind of thing. They asked them to name their top five front offices. The Bucs did not make the top 13, and there's no evidence per the full story and the survey that they got any votes at all. And Light shared that, and he was not happy about it. Obviously, he doesn't go on Twitter a lot, and he wanted to call attention to it. Pretty stunning. This is not the first time that's happened, and this is a top five. It wasn't like name your favorite or your top two. This was name your top five. Couldn't find one vote. The follow-up to that is Rondae Barber was on a podcast with Ari Myrov of the 33rd team, and he was talking about the Bucks front office. And, you know, of course, he's all in with the Bucks front office and all that stuff. And he explained even deeper how he's there all the time. But Rondae went out of his way to say that Light's whole process and the way they're identifying free agents and draft picks, this whole new system that started 3-4 years ago after evolving into it, that Light has struggled to stick to it because it could be so tempting to go get a guy, but they've held firm on on passing on talented, enticing players. Of course, the Randy Gregory thing makes that a little weird, but what do you make of all of that?
Well, it's another receipt, Lee, for Jason Light. It's another receipt to keep. Look, Lee, we pride ourselves on trying to be as objective as we can be, but I got to say, for the Bucks front office not to be in the top 12, 10, it's a little surprising. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. They've had a good run here. They've had a very good run. Light made some significant changes in the way he approaches the draft, Lee, and quite frankly, he did it because the old way wasn't working. The O.J. Howards, the Vernon Hargraves, first-round picks, busts, pure and simple, no two ways about it. And he changed his format and what he told his scouts to look for and emphasize. And the results, Lee, have been rather spectacular, I think with the exception of Devin White, but Lee, like you always say, he helped him raise the Vince Lombardi trophy. So even that gets an asterisk. I got to put the Bucks in the top 10. I'm not putting them ahead of the Chiefs or some of the other really top-notch organizations. You know, Lynch runs a good ship out there in San Francisco. He stockpiled a lot of talent, Lee. He got Brock Purdy, Lee. He did.
Well, that was an accident, let's be honest. Yeah. Well, last pick in the draft, that's an accident. Like Brady was an accident.
But, I got to say, Lee, I think Light's got a point here. Light's got a point. He's got some good people around him. It's pissing him off that he hasn't lost one of them, even though he really doesn't want to personally, but he wants to see them do well, and he wants to build a little GM tree, and right now he doesn't have it. He doesn't have a branch. He doesn't have a twig. I don't know. When you're doing top 10, top 12 front offices, I think the Bucks definitely have to belong.
Here's why I think he's getting ranked low, or as Steve would say, is not ranked at all. And I'm sort of guilty as anyone. Steve, I'll fully admit, I didn't read the Athletic article, but I'm just going to take a wild stab and guess Howie Roseman's top three.
I don't think he was that high, but he was up there. He made the list and had like the sixth or seventh most votes, something like that.
I was thinking he'd be higher. Well, Howie Roseman does what we like, what fans like. He likes names, and he's aggressive in getting them. Jason Light's not aggressive in that respect. You know, how many years I've been screaming for an edge rusher? Everyone and their brother knows the Bucks need an edge rusher. Light won't budge. Now, is that a good poker player? We'll see. But Javi Roseman is very aggressive. Fans like that. Media likes that. White likes the safe route. That's not buzzworthy. That doesn't get much attention. And what were people screaming about the Bucks in the offseason? You didn't bring anybody in. Didn't add anybody. You kept your roster together. Yawn. You're a 9-win team. You didn't bring anybody in. And White's like, well, you know, we got good players. Why wouldn't we want to keep them? And we kind of started this podcast with the notion that, you know, things are kind of falling the way they're falling. The Bucks might be right up there with the Lions as far as the best team in the conference. You know, so who gets the last laugh? Light. Even though he didn't do the buzzworthy, you know, go get names, go get these, this guy, go sign that guy, trade for this guy. He hasn't done that since Arians has been around.
You know, Steve, big picture, just signing Mayfield. I understand it was low risk, Steve, but other people could have signed him. That looks like a home run at this point.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the great coups of the last couple of years, and could be, frankly, if he plays well and can stick as the Bucs quarterback, let's say just through the decade, let's say he's got five more years left. What an amazing signing that would turn out to be. Real quick, the votes came in from the 40 executives and coaches: Ravens, Chiefs, 49ers, Eagles, Lions, top five, and then Packers, Seahawks, Rams, Bills, and Steelers. And then there were a few also Rans that, and none were the Bucs. So,
Wait a minute. What have the Steelers done? What have the Steelers done in the last?
Very true, Ira. Good point.
What have they done since Roethlisberger left, Steve? They've done nothing. They can't even replace him. Maybe Justin Fields, maybe. Who knows? Russell Wilson looks like a non-factor. Kenny Pickett was a disaster. Lee, yeah. I don't see the Steelers right now. I don't see it.
That running back they got from Alabama, he's been, I don't know about a bust, but he's been a washout.
Najee Harris?
Nothing.
Well, I know you'd get some argument on that, but still, again, it's about the vote now, right? And for the Steelers to get that vote, that's kind of tough, but maybe, I don't know when the votes came in, maybe these people obviously are combining the success of their drafts and their current quarterback situation. Maybe they seem to like that and how they approached it. I don't know. Difficult for Light, obviously, and we'll monitor the situation, Ira.
Lee, I think that Pittsburgh vote is based on reputation, Lee. That's what
I
think.
I absolutely agree with you. I totally agree. I was thinking about that the other night. Not related to the article. I'm like, you know, people aren't really bragging up the Steelers anymore about their front office when Kevin Colbert was running it. It's a little bit different now.
So, this game coming up, I'll speak first on it against the Falcons, Thursday Night Football, all the fanfare. Now, I watched the Saints-Falcons game, and I came away from that game saying, and the Falcons won on a last-second field goal, I came away saying to myself, gosh, I'm so glad we're not playing the Saints, because I still don't really understand how the Saints lost that game. The Falcons did not score an offensive touchdown. They scored a terrible play by the Saints. Guy actually tried to field a punt at the 2-yard line, fumbled it, touchdown Falcons. Derek Carr, he had a pass rush in his face, tried to sidearm around the guy, and Matthew Judon made a real smart play, brought his arm down, deflected the ball. It's picked to pick six, and the rest were long field goals, not close field goals, long field goals, including the 58-yarder to win the game. The Saints came out, they scored touchdowns on their first two drives, and their defense is ferocious. I still don't understand how they won, but that's what turnovers will do for you. The Falcons got two. They're just not very good, Ira. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions this year. I looked it up. He's got negative 2 yards rushing, which, you know, he was always at least a little mobile. I looked it up last year. He ran for 7 yards on a few scrambles against the Bucks with the Vikings, but the guy's totally immobile, and they just don't have any weapons except for Bijan Robinson, who's now got a bad hamstring coming out of that game. So, you know, I came into this thinking, Ira, that the Bucks were going to lose, and now I think, you know what, they should be able to move the ball quite well, and my only real concern watching this game was Robinson, will he play or not, and Judon against Schooley, which could be a nightmare. So I'm choosing to stick to my guns, even though I think there's a great chance the Bucks will win. But for the sake of a pick, for the sake of Thursday Night Football being so tough to win on the road, and maybe the Bucks being a little banged up, I'm going to pick the Falcons to win 28-27. I hate doing it, but I really think the Bucks got a great shot here.
Lee, I got to get back on the winning side here. I'm on a 3-game losing streak. I guess I don't have a good feel for the Bucks at this point, but I'm going to pick the visitors, Lee. Two reasons. I think they're going to get a couple of picks against Cousins, who will be under pressure. He doesn't move well, Lee. It doesn't take much to hit the guy or to pressure him. And number two, Lee, and you're going to like it, I think Bucky Irvin gets 100 yards in this game. I think he gets 100 on the turf. I think he's a turf runner, and I think you're going to see it. I think we'll walk away from this game talking about Bucky Irvin and the 4-1 Bucks. Steve picked Atlanta. I picked the Bucks, so you're the tipping point, Lee. I got to give the score. Steve, did you give a score?
Yeah, I threw 28-27 out there.
And I'm going to say 24-20, Lee, Bucks.
I'll say 27-24 Bucks. I'm not scared of the Falcons. I'm just not. They don't impress. They barely beat the Eagles. The Eagles gave that game away. Let's be honest. The Eagles gave that game away. So I think the Bucks can take care of business up in Atlanta. I really do. I'm just not impressed with the Falcons. That's a weak team. I'm sorry. It's a weak team. I'm going to say two things real quick. One about Light and one about Villa. We were talking about Light just a second ago. And I've said this before. Ivor, you've mentioned it more than a few times. About how Light gets good guys to draft. There's hardly any divas in that locker room. There really aren't. Especially with the wide receivers, that's rare. They have guys like Evans and Godwin, and there's no diva about them. That's rare. Well, here's another rare one. I saw a clip of Vita Vea getting triple teamed. Ryan Baldinger does an all-22 breakdown of various games. He loves Vita Vea. And among his clips of Vita Vea that he had from Sunday, Vita Vea was getting triple teamed. So I asked Vita Vea today, I said, man, how many times did you get triple teamed? I said, I saw one triple team. I saw it on a clip, but I didn't watch the entire game from all 22. How many times do you think you get triple teamed? He said, I wasn't triple teamed. And I said, well, I saw three Eagles on you. Well, that's triple teamed. And he goes, oh, that was an accident. And he went on to explain how that was an accident. He goes, I don't think they were trying to triple team me at all. Well, I rewatched the clip. If that's not a triple team, I don't know what a triple team is then. But I just thought, most guys, if let's say you're Villa and you know you got triple teamed and someone asks you about it, most guys would be beating their chest. They're building their brand. Damn right I was triple teamed. You know, like Keyshawn Johnson. It takes three. Remember Keyshawn Johnson said against the Bengals? He got tackled by three guys. It takes three. You know, guys would be doing that. And Vita Vea is like, no, man, I wasn't triple teamed. They weren't trying to triple team me. That was an accident. That just tells me these guys have no egos that Light gets, or at least very limited egos. And I don't know how he does that. That's number one real quick. And number two, our Chris Godwin has the most targets, percentage-wise, on the Bucks. Number two is Mike Evans. Take a guess who number three is. Percentage of targets. Who's number three for the Bucks? I don't like this.
Could be K-Dot.
Yes, I don't like it. It was Rashad White up until this week. Now it's K-Dot. I think Rashad White is far more dangerous than K-Dot in the passing game. I want to see if they're going to throw the ball. I want to see Rashad White on the field.
Lee, that was a great point you made about Vita Vea. And I'll say this, Lee: not everybody, but quite a few players in this league, under the same circumstances, were you talking them up? You know what they would have said, Lee? I'm used to it. I'm used to it. I get it all the time.
All right, Sage, just a last word here. The Atlanta, they can run the ball up the middle. Vea's got to be in there. We'll see what happens, but they do tackle very well. And I was watching the Saints playing super tight with their corners. Are the Bucs going to do that, or are we going to get a cushion fest until somebody screams at Jamel Dean? I don't know, but should be interesting. Ira, do you have a last thought for Bucs fans as they head to BillCurryFord.com to start shopping and tell their friends in need about Florida's elite restoration?
Absolutely, Steve. The Sage is hitting the road. Yes, that's right. Going to Atlanta. Lee will be in New Orleans the following game. Looking forward to my road trip, Steve. I always like going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Steve, I'm going to twist some arms and try to get on the field before the game and get some gossip. I'm coming back with some gossip.
And Arthur Blank will call the PA announcer and say, please page Irv to leave the field.
Take care, boys.